And a big part of this, the subtitle is Practicing the Urgency of Prayer. And we're going to look at the main three elements are planning. If we're going to be prepared for the storm, we probably ought to have a plan. The second element will be on being calm. Okay, the storm hits. Let's not lose our head. Let's not do something that's crazy. Let's just be calm and trust God. So that'll be kind of the main theme of the second session, the second official session. And the third one is grow. We've got the storm. We've been calm. What was the purpose of all of this anyhow? I believe God doesn't waste anything. And his desire is that we continually grow. And so as I thought about those three elements, I thought, okay, so what are we really talking about when we talk about prepared for the storm? What are we preparing for? What are the storms of life? What do they look like? In laying the foundation for this is typical, and you'll see that in the outline with each session. I like to use words as my outline, something that you can tie the points into and hopefully remember a little bit more than just simply giving you assorted points. And so this word isn't in your outline because it's kind of a recent addition. But it's what are some of the storms? We're going to use the word storms, and we're going to categorize some of what we're going to face. And then we're going to look at what do we do about it. Matthew chapter 7, fairly familiar passage to many, talks about storms. And I believe it talks about being prepared for the storms. And so I want to begin by reading that. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Would you pause and pray as we begin? Father, thank you that you are indeed a God that loves us. You've called us to yourself. You've given us the tools to be prepared for the storms of life. And Father, you've promised that we are never alone. And we today, as we gather, we want to consider how our communication with you helps us in these times of storms. And how we can be an example, we can be a representative of Jesus, not only in the midst of our storms, but to those who are being battered by the storms of this world and are not sure of where to turn. And so, Father, today we gather not simply to prepare ourselves, not simply to ask for protection for ourselves from these storms, but to ask that you would equip us to be the lighthouses, to be those that are prepared, those that can guide people to you, those that lift up Jesus in everything that we do, so that they too would be prepared for the storm. And together we would build a house, just as laborers as you build the house. But we would do our part so that that house would stand, because it's your house. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So what are these storms? It's fascinating as you go through Scripture. There's a lot of different ways that God uses a storm. Back in the book of Exodus, God sends a storm. And he sends the storm, a variety of types of storms, but he sends them to get initially to get Pharaoh's attention. But it's not just Pharaoh's attention that he wants. He really sends them to get the attention of his people as well, to show that he can protect them, that he will be with them. And so sometimes God sends these storms for a purpose, for a reason. And so many times we want to simply get out of the storm. And God says, there's a purpose. Job definitely had his share of storms. And so many times we look at that and we get the advantage. We get to see the behind-the-scenes conversation that takes place. And again, God allowed the storms to come for a purpose, for a reason. And God carried Job through those storms because of Job's faith in God. But what do they look like? As we look at the word storms, I want to use those letters. And I think sometimes the storms in life come as sorrows. And these can take a lot of forms. Grief, the loss of a loved one. The loss of a job, the loss of an opportunity, the loss of whatever. And loss is one of those things that typically fills most of us with sorrow of some kind. And we all know people, we may have all been people, who struggle in the depths of that sorrow, wondering if we'll ever get out of it. And it's that type of storm that I'm talking about. How do we prepare for it? Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. He doesn't say you might have trouble, you could have trouble. It's possible that trouble will come your way. He says, you will have trouble. And I believe that's why it's so important that we are prepared for whatever storms come. And so sorrows is part of that storm that we face. Sometimes we face the storm of temptation. The enemy wants to distract us from God. He wants to do whatever he can to sever that link that we have with God, or to keep it from taking place to begin with. And so we face the storm of temptation. Do I do what God says, or do I do what my flesh wants to do? Do I do what God says, or do I do what everybody around me says I ought to do? We often think of children and teens as being under this immense amount of peer pressure. And somehow we think it magically disappears when we graduate from high school. And it doesn't. It's not just our teens that are battling the peer pressure that is heaped upon them. I don't want to diminish the effects that it has on them in any way, but we all are tempted to go along with the crowd. And our digital era doesn't make that any easier. And matter of fact, it makes it more complicated. I'm afraid to speak the truth because people I don't even know will attack me. And so those temptations create a storm in our life. Sometimes it's oppression that creates the storm in our life. We're just trying to follow God. We're trying to do the right things. And it seems like everything is out against us. We know in our mind, we know intellectually that it's a spiritual battle. But the difficulty in our life with spiritual battles is they often involve the use of people. And so what we see is the person. And when the enemy tries to oppress us, tries to crush us, tries to put us down, we're very much tempted to lash out at whoever he's using. And this oppression creates a storm in our life. And I believe unless God chooses to intervene in miraculous ways, we are in a season of increasing oppression of Christianity, of faith in Christ. And we need to be prepared. We need to know how to deal with that. Another storm of life that we live with is the storm of rejection. We all want to belong. There's something within us, and I believe it comes from God's design of creation, where he says it's not good for man to be alone, that we want to fit in, we want to belong, we want to be a part of something. And yet in this world, rejection is real. And it can come at us from places we don't even expect. And for reasons we may never understand. And so this storm of rejection, we ought to be able to take hope in realizing that Jesus was rejected by those that he was sent to. And he endured the storm for the joy set before him, the joy of the cross. Sounds like such an odd statement. But that's what Scripture tells us. The joy in the cross was knowing that it accomplished his Father's will. And it made things able to be right between us and God. And so this storm of rejection, the fifth part of these storms that we face takes on more meaning in this last year, but it really applies beyond where your mind will probably initially go. But it's the storm of mandates. We've lived under mandates in this last year that most of us would have never dreamed would ever happen. And some of them we've liked, some of them we've understood, some of them we've kind of said, okay, that makes sense. Others we've kind of fought against. We've said, what does that have to do with anything? But if you're honest, you look prior to COVID ever being heard of, it's kind of been part of our human nature to resist mandates of any kind. I don't want to be told what to do. You're not my mom. You're not my dad. We have all of these statements that we use to say, you can't tell me what to do. And unfortunately, we carry that into our relationship with God, and there are times we resist his mandates. And resisting his mandates definitely creates a storm, because it puts us at odds with him. And resisting the mandates of those that he has put into authority creates a storm. I think one of the greatest tensions that I've been aware of in this last year is the tension of Christian individuals, Christian churches, Christian organizations, trying to decide, what do I follow and what don't I follow? And we like to pull out, you know, the apostle says we must obey God rather than men. But they're talking about being told not to talk about Jesus. They're not talking about, do I wear a mask or don't I wear a mask? Do I go out to eat or don't I go out to eat? You know, it's those areas that make no sense to us sometimes that we create in our mind, at least, a storm that is difficult. But it's true regardless of COVID or not. And so that storm of being told what to do, the storm of mandates kind of creeps into our life, and we need to be prepared. And finally, the last part of this word storms is the storm of suffering. In one sense, you could probably tag that along with the beginning of the storm of sorrow, but I think it goes beyond that. Sometimes we suffer in ways that isn't really directly sorrowful. It's just difficult. And the more we live with difficulty, the heavier the burden that we seem to carry. And this storm of suffering kind of builds in our life. I was able to take a course this past winter, throughout the winter, on emotional and spiritual care and trauma and disaster response. And it talks about this piling up of trauma if we don't deal with it. This piling up of suffering. If we don't deal with this layer, then another layer gets put onto it. And if we don't deal with either of those layers, it just keeps growing. And many times, the initial layer or any individual layer doesn't seem like that big of a deal. I can suffer for Christ. I can bite my tongue. I can refrain from saying what I want to say. I can bear my cross daily. But it's that daily part that kind of adds up. So that storm of suffering kind of creeps in. And it builds. And so when I look at these kinds of storms, and I see in Scripture that God sometimes sends storms for purposes that He has in mind. God sometimes calms storms that are not of His making for purposes that He has in mind. And God calls us to be a shelter to others in the midst of their storm. It's fascinating. Isaiah, I believe it's 32. Yes, 32, the first few verses. We probably think of and understand God and Jesus as being our shelter in the midst of a storm. But how often do we think about us? Do I think about me being a shelter to someone else? Isaiah 32, beginning at verse 1. See, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. You see, God calls us to represent Jesus. We know that Jesus is the ultimate shelter in the midst of any storm that we face. But He says, you ought to be a representative of that shelter to the people around you. And that's why when I looked at this topic of prepared for the storm, practicing the urgency of prayer, I thought it was good to begin with this session that kind of says, okay, what are we even talking about when it comes to storms? Because I'm guessing that as we went through that list of things, you've probably recognized you're living in the midst of storms. And it probably gives you a greater incentive to say, okay, I need to be prepared. There's more happening around me than I realized. And it's not just me. I believe one of the tools that Satan tries to use very effectively at times is isolation. And in this last year, that's definitely been seen. But it's a tool of His regardless. He wants to make you and me think that what we're going through, no one else ever has and no one else ever will. And so no one will understand. And if you try to tell them about that, they're going to know that you're not spiritual, you're not in touch with Him. Otherwise, you wouldn't be experiencing this. And the enemy is so good at planting that in our mind. And we become isolated. And the shelter that we ought to be able to seek from one another is lost because we're not willing to seek it. As I'm going to do with each of these sessions, after I talk for a while and share with what God's really put on my heart to share, I'm going to give you some time to pray. I've often said, many of you have probably heard it, my philosophy is if I go somewhere and I teach about prayer and we never pray, I failed. And so as we make the transition from this introduction to get into the real heart of the sessions that I originally thought I was doing, I'm going to give you about 5, maybe 10 minutes to just spend some time somewhere, whether it's in this room or the foyer, to just get some time with God and pray about the storms that you are right now experiencing. It could be something that fell into those categories I described. It's not an all-inclusive list, and so there may be other storms you're experiencing. But spend some time with Him and ask Him to open your heart and mind to what He wants you to hear through the next couple hours or so. So let me pray, and then I'll send you to do that. Father, thank You that You love us, that You're aware of the storms that we face. Help us to grow in our awareness so that we can be prepared, so that we can be that shelter for someone else. And Father, as we live life today, may we learn in a greater way to represent Jesus to a world that is being bombarded. And may we lift Him up so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. So take some time and pray, and then we'll gather back in 5 or 10 minutes.